Now, the Police Minister, Stuart Nash, is confident the government has the numbers to pass legislation to tighten gun laws. The National Party says it's not happy with new legislation to further tighten gun laws and will decide tomorrow if it will back it. It's the second set of law changes in the aftermath of the mosque attack in Christchurch in March. National's police spokesperson Brett Hudson says he still has concerns about the proposed laws, which his party will discuss at caucus tomorrow morning. Police Minister Stuart Nash spoke to me earlier this morning.
This will go to the full select committee process, and if there is anything egregious there that people feel as if need to be changed to make this more effective, then we're open to listening.
So New Zealand First, everyone's on board?
Yes, they are.
National clearly has some reservations. Do you want them on board?
I would love to have them on board. Keeping in mind the first tranche we all voted as a parliament, except one MP, this is really important, and let me give you an example of this. After our Moana, John Banks was the police minister, and he came out after March the 15th and said his one major regret as the Minister of Police back then is he could not get meaningful firearms changes through. Finally, we can. So we know the issues. We've known the issues since the 1997 Thorpe Report. This is just ensuring that we create a system that makes our community safe and that fit and proper people are the only ones that can own firearms in this country.
Well, let's deal with some of the issues that National's Brett Hudson has raised. And in particular, the concern seems to be around doctors referring, if they are made aware perhaps of mental health issues and somebody owns a gun, and then referring that on. Is there any potential for changing that to meet their concerns?
We will see what comes out of the select committee process, but we've talked to the Privacy Commission about that. He is happy where we've landed. My understanding is the Medical Council is happy where we've landed. But we talked to, in preparation for this, there's a lot of consultation, we talked to the Rural Women. There's an organisation of Rural Women. They said one of their greatest fears is their men folk taking the guns and going to the back of the farm and never coming back. This isn't about stigmatising people with mental health. This is ensuring that people who own firearms are fit and proper. And what we're only asking doctors to do is if they have a concern that one of their patients may have dropped below that fit and proper test, to give the police a call. Police will then either, if it's mine, then they will call the person and maybe interview the person and their family and friends just to make sure that it's all okay. If it is serious, if the doctor has serious concerns, then the police can put an immediate suspension and take the firearms away and then deal with the person.
There's a lot of subjective assessments there, though, isn't there? And there is the risk that law-abiding gun owners may be stigmatised or targeted.
Well, the initial assessment comes from the medical professional, not the police. In order for the police to revoke a licence on medical health grounds, it has to go through an independent assessment at this stage. So, again, it's not police making this assessment, it is medical professionals making the assessment that someone is no longer fit and proper.
And will the medical professionals have the training and expertise to make that assessment as regards the new law and the new rules?
So what will happen? Let me walk you through the process. So when you're applying for your firearm, you've got to provide the name of your doctor, your name, medical professional, usually your doctor. Then what will happen is the police will then pass that information on to the doctor, i.e., you know, Mr. Jones has a firearms license, he is one of your patients. That goes on the doctor's file. The doctor will know they've got a firearms license. If at any stage the doctor feels, the medical professional feels, that this person is in a little bit of trouble, then they can report to the police. And then, and if it's serious, if police feel that a revocation or a full suspension is warranted, then that has to come. That decision has to be made by an independent medical professional.
Okay, if we look at the register, the main criticism really seems to be a lack of faith that you can do this without it just being another layer of bureaucracy, that it will actually work.
Well, that, we used to have a register in New Zealand, actually, and Quebec has gone, and Canada has gone back to having a register. We're not the first country in the world to have a register, and it does work in other jurisdictions. So I have complete faith that this will work, and it'll do the job we require. In fact, if you talk to most people, including most gun dealers, they suggest that a register is a good way to go. And keep in mind, when Canada had their register in place, it was in the 1980s. They didn't have the technology. You were looking at a number of states. You had a population of 35 million and about 14 million guns. We have
Well, in saying that, you say you have the technology, but we don't have a great track record when it comes to large IT projects. I mean, what faith, again, can we have that this will be able to be run properly?
Well, I am the Minister of Revenue, and I are at the moment are implementing a $1.8 billion project across Inland Revenue, and that's coming in on time and under budget. So, you know, there have been a few examples of IT projects that are blown out, but there are also some very good examples of IT projects coming in on time and budget and doing what they're supposed to do.
That is the Police Minister, Stuart Nash.